Today I want to offer a short reflection, well, hopefully short. We'll see where we end up. A lot has happened this week. And I want to reflect on two things together. One was the Pope's visit to Edmonton this week. That's a significant, I think, moment in our history, where the Roman Catholic Church and indeed the Christian Church and the Pope acknowledged the evil, the devastation of we as Christians trying to stamp out Indigenous communities, Indigenous families, Indigenous culture. And there was an apology. I guess I'm hoping, hopefully, we're all hoping that that repentance that the Pope spoke about is true. I hope that they're not mere words, but they follow through with financial aid and anything else that we need to support our Indigenous sisters and brothers. That's one. Another one is here in the Bow Valley this past week. You may have heard, I think it was in the news already, a local vendor, Bella, they received an email from Camel Pride asking if they wanted to be partners and sort of helping the barbecue. And an email came out of this vendor that can only be described as vitriol and hate. It was ugly, kind of demeaning of a community that are our friends, our neighbors, family. So I want us to hold those two moments this morning. And what I'm going to say here is, at best, the beginning of a conversation of a dialogue. I have maybe 20 minutes max, so I can't hit all of it the way, you know, it deserves. But I want us to remember something. And what I'm saying today, this morning, I'm talking to Christians today. So if you're a guest today and maybe you're curious or exploring Christianity, but that's not how you identify, so glad you're here. You're welcome. What I'm going to share hopefully has some wisdom for you. But I want to talk to the Christians today, the ones who say they follow Jesus, and they mean it. The journey of faith, whether we come here on, you know, we gather on Sundays to sing songs, to hear the word of God, or during the week, you know, you have your private times of reading scripture or prayer. The journey of faith is one of learning to trust God. Learning to trust God with the totality of our being, right? So learning how to trust God and asking God, how should I raise my children? God, what career should I take on? God, where should I live? God, how do I spend my money? How do I give? And the journey of faith is, in a sense, putting yourself aside our private and selfish desires, our petty grievances, and attuning to what God has in store for us. And then, with God's help, living that out. It's trusting God. Now, trusting God is an everyday thing. You have to do it every day. But there are moments in our shared experience, these like crucial moments, where our trust in God is tested. Like this week. Because these moments happen, and I had conversations this week, it's so interesting. These serious moments happen where the Pope comes to Edmonton and has that sermon, and he gives that sermon, that talk, apologizing. Then this email comes out, and our community a line is drawn, and you have to pick sides. How are you going to deal with this, right? There's a lot of people who, when they learned about that email, responded, I think, understandably, with anger, with hurt, even with rage. Now, I had some conversation on that. Also, online, so much of our lives now online, and there were calls to no longer patronize the vendor, no longer go in there. No, they're hateful. We're just cutting them out. And then there was another side of other people saying, wait a minute. The email that was sent, this ugly email of hate, is only one individual. And frankly, the vendor has been such a big part of our community and done so much good, so it's only one person. Let's not be too hasty. And this week we've been invited, in a sense, to choose sides, right? Here's where the trust in God comes into play. If you're a Christian and you're following Jesus, you can't put the car in neutral and let yourself be guided to one side or another. You just can't. Because to trust God, to trust Jesus, what you have to ask yourself is, What would Jesus do? I'm a little racist from the 90s. I know, it sounds so trite, but you have to, right? All the readings we heard today are essentially exploring that one question, trust in God. How do we trust him? We heard Bill read the Hosea reading. The first reading we heard, it's basically a prophecy and a poem from the Old Testament. I'll give you some context so we can understand it better. Hosea is a writing at a time when the people of God have a kingdom. It's called Israel. And it's a small kingdom, and they've had it for hundreds of years. When the kingdom was first born, the king and the people followed God exclusively. But over the years, the hundreds of years, they've started worshiping the gods from the surrounding communities. Poles to Asherah, or altars to Baal. And that's not what they were called to do. They were called to follow God exclusively. So there they are, and they're being challenged that front. But for them, the car's in neutral. Well, everyone's doing it. Everyone's worshiping Baal. There's a pole, everyone's doing it. All the modern kingdoms around us are doing this. Why not? It seems old-fashioned to stick to this old desert god, Yahweh. And in the midst of their car being in neutral, the small kingdom of Israel is surrounded by mighty empires. Notably, to the north of the kingdom, there's the mighty Assyrian Empire. And they are conquering and collecting smaller nations and absorbing them into their empire. Israel is worried. What do we do in the face of these invading armies? Now, the prophets for hundreds of years have been telling the people, turn to God, trust in him. Repent, gather, pray, sing songs, worship the one God who created you, the only true God. But that seems so silly. Why pray in the face of political catastrophe? How are songs and gathering going to change the political landscape? What the dumb thing is, at that time, the modern thing to do at that time is to make alliances. And so Israel went south to make a political alliance with the Egyptian Empire. Now, that's something of a no-no, because God had literally saved them from Egypt, from slavery, and they weren't meant to go back. But there they are. This is modern. This is what we do. And so they went down south and they made a political alliance. And God said, this is not the way. You're not referring to me. You're not trusting me. You're trusting in yourself, in your ability to make good political alliances. And it didn't work out. When the Assyrian Empire came down to attack the kingdom of Israel, the Egyptian armies went north and they were obliterated. They were destroyed. And Israel was absorbed into Assyria. Now, on the one hand, I'm sympathetic to the Israelite kingdom. Because I think that when we see a very large problem, we very naturally, I think understandably, want a large solution, right? When you have a moment when you see large-scale hate, and it is large-scale, then you want to respond, okay, then we have to respond large. Get a hashtag going, get online, start making alliances, get together, silence. But as Christians, we are defined, or at least we have to be defined, by God's justice and mercy. Those are two things. And undergirding God's justice and mercy is love. And so that's how we have to behave and react. So this is what I'm giving you. This is a reflection I'm giving you. And you're going to have to take this and you have to think about it, pray about it, and then we can talk. Because what I've seen, now I'm speaking to a large, in our bulk, largely non-Christian crowd. I'm not here to hate on them. But what we have to do is we have to take the culture we live in and compare it to the word of Jesus and see what makes sense and what doesn't. And there's two things that I've seen. One is a seeking for justice, namely the people who were offended, rightly offended by that ugly email. They're wanting justice. And there's another side who, in an attempt to want nuance, what they want is mercy. But both those things, justice and mercy, the versions I'm seeing and hearing and talking to people are justice and mercy that are not undergirded by love. Because the justice I'm seeing out there right now, it's a justice of shut Valbella down, silence them, cut them out. Now, that seems pretty rational for non-Christian, but if it's a Christian, that can't be rational. Because each one of us, if you're a Christian, has been forgiven by God. That means that in the totality of our being, our sin deserves to be cut out from God's presence, from God's love, and yet God came to us in the person of Jesus and died on the cross, because somehow that death reconciled you and me with God. We are recipients of God's love, His grace. Now, justice was done. I want to point something out. And it's easy to miss in 2000 years of Christianity. But listen, God didn't ignore the evil in this world. Justice was done. Do you know what the cross means? The cross means that each one of us deserved to be there. That's what the cross means. The sin that we committed, the war that we waged on each other, the hate, the pettiness, for thousands of years, deserved God's judgment. Justice. Cut out. And it happened, except that God came to us in Jesus and said, yeah, you do deserve that, but I'm going to take that because I love you. I'm going to step in the middle of the fire for you. So if you're a Christian, you can't walk into the world and when you see something wrong, say, justice, cut him out. No forgiveness. Because you are recipient of God's grace. How could you go out in the world and do that? You can't. It's illogical. But what I do honor is a desire for justice in the face of something evil. And here's the other side. The other side says, oh, well, there's nuance and it's one person. And it's sort of like tacit assumptions. Just give them a pass. They've done good in the community for a long time. Give them a pass. But that is mercy without love. Because mercy without love is just a pass. It's indifference. It's ignoring the problem. But mercy with love, because if that person wants you right now, I hope for reconciliation for you, but you've hurt somebody. You've hurt people, a whole community, people who are struggling, people who are in, however you think of the LGBTQ plus community, or whatever you think about trans people, whether you find them, like you feel like there's heat, like you don't trust it, or maybe you're on the side, depending where you are on those two sides. I'm not here to explain all that to you, but I will say this. Whatever you think, you have to recognize that these are people, that they're humans. They're living their lives. They're trying to explore something. They don't know what's going on. And sometimes they do. They're trying to figure out in what seems to be a hostile world. And as Christians, we have to love them. We have to respect them. Do you understand? However you think about that. And so if you look at someone doing something evil, as Christians, yes, I just said, we were seeking for God's mercy, but mercy without love is indifferent. Oh, yes, in the past. It's ignoring the hurt that's happening. Real mercy is pointing out this evil was done, and we're not going to ignore it. You have to make amends. You're hurting yourself. But, so you point out what's wrong, and somehow we have to hope for a path towards true reconciliation, because as Christians, that's an offer to us. It has. What I'm saying right now, I know this, actually. You go out there, it's not going to be received well. What I'm saying can sound like somehow blithely protecting the people who do evil and harm. You know? And as a Christian minister, am I not right now standing in the heritage of previous, you know, Christian leaders have done some harm and sort of put it under the rug? I hope what I'm saying right now, you can hear that I'm not trying to do that. But what I am pointing out when we look at God's word is that when you have a big problem, the human temptation is to have a big solution. But the solution, really, and Paul talks about it in the reading from Colossians. He said, hey, don't get away from all that evil, lust, all those evil, you know, lasciviousness, greed, anger. The solutions that we need in our community, indeed the world, right here, right now, whether they're political, philosophical, whatever it is, it has to be undergirded by a transformed self, a kind of human being that can unequivocally point out to the evil that's present in our community and at the same time have enough love to to be open to a path of reconciliation, because that is the way of Jesus. And that's what we need. I've talked about it here before, but one of the best examples that I know of in this world is the truth and reconciliation process in South Africa. Who by what happened there of the years of oppression of Black South Africans by a small, white minority, when the tables turned, that should have been a bloodbath. And everyone should have said, yep, sure. But I'm so grateful that so many, overwhelmingly, the leaders there were following in the way of Jesus. And they didn't hide things. They brought, white political leaders, police officers, come into the room. We're going to point out exactly what you did. We have to know the evil that you did. But we're not going to do retributive punishment. We're not going to do revenge. Because overwhelmingly, many said, we follow a Jewish man that when they were killing him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That radical forgiveness, that radical openness to healing, that is what saved the world. And it wasn't largely a politic. It was, in the end, it was a group of beautiful, simple people came together and said, I trust in Jesus, and therefore this is how I'm going to be in my life. I'm going to forgive even though it hurts. I'm going to love instead of kill. That moment in South Africa is one of the most unique moments in the history of recorded human history. Find something like that. When an oppressed class came over and there was no blood there, I dare you find it. You're going to waste your time. You're not going to find it. That's just one. Imagine if so many of us follow Jesus, what this world could be like. If we really took on what Paul says, the new self, instead of revenge and vindictiveness, simply pointing out the evil and making it clear what it is, not hiding it, and then being open to reconciliation, healing, love. That's personal. That's intensely personal. That is you taking time every day to read the Bible, to pray, to ponder what Jesus is saying and doing, and then asking God, help me embody this truth. Help me live out this way. And the little interactions in my, I'm having a really hard time with my family. Help me forgive my sister. Help me come to my dad. My children are driving me up the wall. Help me to be patient and loving towards them. So and so in the church, instead of the how can I be an agent of justice and peace, mercy and love? It's personal. Don't do the Jewish, don't do the Israel thing. Oh, we're lying political lines of Egypt. It's not politics. It's prayer. It's personal. So, I'll speak for myself at this point. I don't want to get too hard, I'll say that I know in my own self that my life is not defined by that yet. But I want it to be. That's why it's so important to come here every week and say the general confession. And at its best, I mean it. I need God's help to love and to forgive in those radical ways that change the world. And so now I'm inviting you to do the same. And I'm inviting you not because I need your help. We need each other. And so in a few minutes, we're going to come to the Lord's table. And I do believe, in a way that I can't explain, God's grace comes to us in a real way when we come to the Lord's table and the bread and the wine. I invite you, when you come forward, to ask God to help you live out that radical justice and mercy in your life. In the relationships that you don't have healed, ask God to do that. I promise you that if you ask Him, He will do it. It's going to take courage on your part to do the uncomfortable, but God will also grant you the courage to do it if you ask. And so we're going to have this moment as a community. We're going to have together. Hold that in your mind and heart. Pray that. Don't let this moment pass you by. God's grace is here. It's real. God loves you. You're a recipient of His mercy. Therefore, accept that, celebrate that, and go out and live like Jesus. Not only for your great good, but for God's greater glory. So let's pray. Gracious and loving God, We come before you this morning with our frustration, our angers, our sadness, our hurt, witnessing the brokenness of this world. And often, God, it's easy to just feel that we need to give up and trust in man-made politics and ways of engaging this world. But God, right now, we're asking for your love and your Holy Spirit to draw near in a special way. God, help us to go out in the world and do justice, do Jesus the justice, and to grant mercy and love of what Jesus has done to us. Help us to live out our faith authentically and honestly in your light. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.